All right. Theme of the day seems to be peace. That's what my message was on. And then Sunday school always happens. There's some verses in Ephesians talking about peace. And Tom shows me a thing today talking about peace. And so peace is it today. Or shalom. Shalom means peace. Shalem is part of the core word of shalom. Shalem is whole or complete. Also means the debt's paid in full. So shalom is really complete peace, you know, a perfect peace. And we can have that. You know, the dictionary says peace is a state of tranquility or quiet. That seems to be real light on the definition of the word peace. You know, we go back to, 60s, 70s, peace signs. You still see peace signs every now and then going around. Used to make kind of fun, you know, Miss America, Miss Universe, Miss World, all those things. You know, they say, what would you do, you know, to make things better? They go through a dissertation, and of course the joke was the last thing they had to say was world peace, you know. And we have a justice of the peace. You know, it tries to keep things together. He can do things and make calls, make judgments on people, can marry people, put them together. We have police, peace officers who get involved with keeping the peace when we have a disturbance of the peace. We need people to keep the peace. We have a Peace Corps. It kind of sounds like an army. They go out and do good things to facilitate good relationships between people and helping people. Then sometimes we have a peace offering that is given during peace talks so we can get a peace treaty out of it. We look for peace and quiet. You've heard it said, we just want peace and quiet. And we all strive for peace of mind. So many songs written about peace. Let's put this in for Ralph. Get a peaceful, easy feeling. You know, all I want is to have my peace of mind. You know, even the song we just sang had peace in it. There's a song, Peace Like a River, and so many songs about peace. People try to find it, but they look for inner peace. You know, inner peace, and they look for things like yoga, and they look for things like breathing exercises and meditations. And when meditations don't work, medications. You know, whatever we need to try to get that peace within ourselves, or we think if we can just get rid of this particular stress. You know, there's a thing really causing stress. If we can just get rid of that, I'll be okay. Or this problem over here. If that would just go away, I could have peace. Or maybe it's this debt. You know, okay, I goofed. I kind of that credit card got a little too much on it. If I could just get that down or get rid of that, it would be okay. Or this job, I'm stuck. I don't enjoy it. If I could just have a different job, I would be okay. You know, that would make it all better. But we look for worldly changes in search of peace. We look for just different things here. And in reality, every path has a puddle. And I tell people before, greener pastures still have cow pies in them. It doesn't change. There's stuff over there too. They think it's better, but it's not. They still have the same issues, just different. Also read, sometimes life isn't how fast we run or how high we can jump, but it's how we bounce. You know, the way we overcome a non-peaceful world. You know, how do we do that? Many times, unfortunately, we just try to do the same thing over and over again and getting the same results. You know, there's a peace that the world longs for. There's a peace the world continues to search. But through all these things they try, they find maybe a peace, but it's very temporary. It doesn't last very long. Then there's a peace that God gives us as believers. A peace despite the things going on around us that we can have. One of these days, I'm probably just going to go to one section of the Bible, read a thing, and talk about that. Today's not that day. We I got a few today, so bear with me. First one is Romans 8, 1 through 6. Keep Levi busy today. Romans 8, 1 through 6 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the fleshly desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You know, believers' minds, you know, are to be in sync with Holy Spirit, you know, who's in us. You know, we became a new creation in Jesus with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When he entered us, when we accepted him into us, we became one with Jesus. He had a union there. And the Spirit gives us life, but also gives us peace. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, there's nine. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's not fruits and we get to pick one. All right, it's fruit of the Spirit. When we have the Spirit, we have all of those things. The Spirit gives us those things. We have those qualities. We have those characteristics that he brings to our life. And that includes faith, peace. You know, peace was included in there. We can have peace by focusing on God and our relationship with Jesus. We can call on the Holy Spirit for his power to give us peace. We can read the Word. There's peace in the Word. There's power in the Word. We can pray. He wants to give us things of our heart desires, especially if they match his. Peace is one of them. You know, we can also find comfort and peace with one another through other believers. We're there for each other. Switch to Isaiah 26, 2 through 4. Says, open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. The perfect peace requires a steadfast mind, requires a steadfast faith. You know, a trust in God that he's on the throne. He's in control of any and all circumstances that come up. He's in charge. He's got control of the situation. You know, say, let go and let God. That'll give you peace. It really will if your dependence is on him and not yourself. But you have to depend on him. You have to put that faith in him. And you can because God's reliable. God's unchanging. God is the truth. He's really the only absolute thing in your life is God, that he's going to be there. John 16:33. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, his word, the Bible mentions several times that the world will have troubles. You know, Jesus' life wasn't easy. He had troubles. You know, and so he's saying, your life's not going to be easy. Your life won't be peaceful here. You know, we're trying to do things on your own. But he also says that those in me may have peace. You know, without Jesus, you will not find peace. It's not going to happen. But in Christ, you can have peace. You know, sometimes we still get confused by what peace really is. And I found another guy put it, I thought better. Peace isn't the absence of conflict. It's not what peace is. It's not the absence of conflict, but the presence of love, generosity, and grace as the transforming principle of our relationships. You know, peace can happen if we're right with God. You know, Paul always led his messages, peace and grace to you. Or grace and peace, I'm sorry. Because grace has to come first. If grace is there, then peace will follow. But grace, peace will come too when you offer grace to other people. You'll find an internal peace when you give grace to others. And if you love everyone like what's commanded, you'll find peace in your heart. If you just follow what he says. But it's not an absence of conflict. It's how we handle it through love and grace and our generosity in those relationships. I'll go to Romans now, 14, verses 17 through 19. Romans 14, 17 through 19. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. You know, the kingdom of God is not of this world and what it offers. You know, kingdom of God is spiritual. It's a whole other realm. It's the goodness of God. It's based on relationships, not things around us. You know, it's our relationship, ours with God, but also through Jesus, but also ours with one another. You know, that's what the kingdom of God's about. You know, it says righteous joy and peace. They're in the Holy Spirit. That's what we have. You know, and we need to have right relationships to be at peace. You know, repentance brings peace. You know, when we repent to God of those things, it brings a peace about to us. When we mess up and we sin, we have to repent of those things. You know, sometimes when things happen, you know, we let anger and those bitter roots God talks about build up, they grow. And sometimes we just need to apply that spiritual Roundup or Ortho or whatever you want to use to kill that root off and get rid of that through repentance. Because that's on us. It's not on somebody else. That's us. Along with repentance, forgiveness is a pretty good tool for peace. The good thing about it only takes you. It doesn't depend on someone else. Yet we fight against it by bitterness, and that we believe, you know, that other person that maybe has hurt us, doesn't matter, you can still forgive them. But maybe it's, we refuse to because we feel they need to be punished. You know, we're a judge, jury, trial. They need to be punished before I can forgive them. Or they need to publicly apologize, and they haven't. They need to get up in front of God and everybody, as they say, and say what they did and apologize for that. And they haven't done that. Sometimes it's I just don't like that person. So it makes it easy not to forgive because I don't like them anyway. And we get into tougher territory than sometimes we say, well, what they did is too great to forgive. It's too big. Or they don't deserve it. And that's when you get into the dangerous territory. That's dangerous, disobedient territory to God. You know, God doesn't ask us to forgive. He commands it. It's not an option. It's not our choice. He commands us to forgive. And he knows if you truly do. And if you truly do, it'll lead to peace in your life. Now, there is a clause in the forgiveness part of it. But Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Now, forgiving is not the same as reconciliation. Forgiving takes one. Reconciliation takes two. You know, it's not just yourself there. There's another party involved, you know. And forgiveness does not automatically mean reconciliation. There can be stages of it. You know, reconciliation, it can be none. It's just a, I forgive, but we're done. There's a refusal to coexist, to talk. You know, it's broken. But again, that's a choice that you make. Or one of the parties at least makes. It can be full, which I think is God's plan. Full reconciliation to where you're back as one. The unity's back. Other times it can be partial or limited. You know, okay, I forgive you, but, you know, up to a point we're going to interact. You know, we hold things. You know, it requires both people to agree. And you need to do your part as fully as you can. And I believe God wants full reconciliation, especially between believers. It's His expectation, I think, is to exercise that fruit of the Spirit that He gave you, all those things, and love one another. And if you use the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, how could you not be reconciled? Takes giving on both parts and the desire for both to come together again as God commands. Because unless we're unified, there won't be peace. We're one body in Christ. And we need to act like it. Isaiah 48:17-18. Says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, what directs you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Again, peace comes with obedience. God teaches us. He directs us down the best path. The Holy Spirit's talking to us, yet sometimes we refuse to listen. It says, if only you had paid attention to my commands. Your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. That's pretty large. He's not talking about a creek, I don't think. He talked about a big river. He's talking about a sea, the waves of the sea. Yet we want to dam it all up. We want to stop it up because we want to do what we want to do. If only we would pay attention to God's word. I'm going to have an invitation and just a minute. Going to finish with Philippians 4:4-9. You know, even Jesus, you know, he rose to life on the third day. And after a while, he showed himself to the disciples that were in the room together. And what's the first thing he said? Peace be with you. First thing he said, peace be with you. You know, he literally was. Maybe they didn't realize it, but he is the Prince of Peace. He was literally with them. Peace be with you, being called out by the Spirit. The Spirit's calling you to have a peace. Philippians 4, 4 through 9 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Again, that's a peace that transcends all understanding. You know, we pray for that a lot of times. You know, especially in times of sickness and death, because there is a peace that can come. But that peace is guarding us. It's guarding our hearts, guarding our minds. You know, think about such things. Those are the things God is trying to teach us. You know, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put into practice. We've got to put those things into practice. They're not just there to read. They're to exercise. And if we exercise those, if we exercise grace and love, then we'll have peace. You know, it goes back to if only. If only you would have paid attention. If only you would have listened. That's what's keeping us from a peace. You know, pay attention to God's commands. He's taking you down the right path for your good and for others' good. If you pay attention to what he asks you to do, not actually ask, what he commands you to do, if you're obedient, you'll find a peace that only he can give. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for